Welcome everyone to The Enthusiast Life. I am your host, Mark Turcotte. It is Tuesday, July 21st. And as always, I'm so glad each and every one of you have decided to make me a part of your day. Well, we got a new one in store for you this episode. Got some cool things to talk about, as well as the question that I threw out to you guys, the audience, about what were some of your favorite original Xbox games. Well, we're going to be talking about those today. But tomorrow, we're going to be talking about your favorite Xbox 360 game. So, same thing, email me, theenthuselife@gmail.com, or go check out on Twitter, find the feed, or find my thread, at Mark Turk, that's M-A-R-K-T-U-R-C. You'll see I'll be asking over there, what were your favorite Xbox 360 games? And again, they don't need to be first party, just when you think of that console, what games do you think of? And the reason we're asking that is because this Thursday, of course, we're getting the big reveal of a lot of Xbox Series X games. So I want to know what games you attribute to these original Xbox systems. But before we talk about the original Xbox, we do got some things that came out today that I do want to talk about. So first up, we did have a Nintendo Direct Mini. So this wasn't a full-on Nintendo Direct. We didn't get any first-party games. This was more just kind of some other things coming down the pipe for Nintendo fans. And kind of kicked it all off with some games that, you know, the series that some people may know about, some people may have completely missed it, and that's the Shin Megami Tensei series. Now, I gotta be honest, this is a series that I've never really jumped into. I've seen these games as they've released on multiple platforms kind of through the years. I think it was originally kind of like a PlayStation series, and then kind of made the jump. I want to say they even have some of these games on the 3DS. I think there is even one already out for the Switch, and they've kind of jumped around, kind of have all these remakes. Well, there is a remastered version of the 2003 PS2 game, Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne, and they are HD-ifying that, and it's coming to the Switch a little bit later on, I think, this year. But then next year, they did announce there's going to be a simultaneous worldwide release, pretty much on the PlayStation 4 and on the Switch, of Shin Megami Tensei 5. So if you are a big fan of that series, hey, you're going to be able to play it wherever you want, whether it's PS4 or on the Switch. Obviously, there's not going to be cross-platform play, but if it was up to me, I'd probably be going on the Switch, because then you could take it on the go with you, right? I mean, we know the PlayStation is going to have some sort of technology of this cloud-based thing with PS Now, but I don't think they're going to double down like Microsoft is doing with xCloud, where you're going to be able to play these games. So if I had to go with a version, that's probably the version I would go with. However, I would still probably wait just to see how that version runs, because that seems to be kind of where we are right now. So there's a lot of games coming out on the Switch or kind of multi-platform, but they're just not running that well on the Switch. I mean, we saw that with like Mortal Kombat 11. You know, I'm trying to think of just some other games. I mean, even Dragon Quest 11, you know, that came out. Game still runs decent on the Switch, but nowhere near what it runs on the PS4 or on the PC, obviously, just for the reasons of, you know, it's not as hard, not as powerful as hardware, of a hard piece of hardware. But, you know, you just kind of got to factor in, like, can I go with maybe less frames or less performance, less resolution, but be able to have that convenience of taking it with me on the go? Some people really like that, and maybe that's your thing. But, you know, I would think a game like this that's very, I mean, it's a role-playing game. So you're looking at this long story. Who knows how long this game is going to be? I mean, just obviously spitballing here, but we're probably talking 40, 50, 60 hours at least in this thing. Being able to take it anywhere with you, being able to put the system to sleep, wake it up real quick, to, you know, pick up where you left off, that's huge. That's huge for a lot of people when it comes to these role-playing games. So, you know, I'm sure there's people out there that are very excited for it. Again, not my series, but hey, I'm glad it's coming to the Switch and glad people are going to get to experience it, especially with that simultaneous worldwide release. That's always cool when games do that. I mean, it's always kind of a bummer when you have games launch on one platform and then not come out a little bit longer. Like, I remember, I mean, just, you know, being the host of Guardian Radio, a Destiny podcast, and knowing just how good the PC version of Destiny 2 was and just wanting to play that game on the PC, but knowing that it was going to be delayed by a month and a half, 2 months, whatever it was, I had to play on the PlayStation 4. And I know that's how a lot of people are. So having that simultaneous release, I think is huge. And you know, that's I'm sure going to be a big boost for that series. Another thing they showed off was the, there's actually some DLC coming to Cadence of Hyrule, which if you never played this game or unfamiliar with the game, it's actually kind of an offshoot of Crypt of the Necrodancer, and it kind of mashed that game with Zelda. And essentially, kind of the hook of that game is there's music beats playing, and you're actually moving your character and attacking to the beat of the music. So almost think like if you take a rock band or a Guitar Hero and how you kind of have to hit the buttons, or obviously when you see the colors on the screen, somewhat similar to that, but you're actually playing like a over-the-top isometric, I mean, it's not really isometric, it's more over-the-top, kind of think like Link to the Past style graphics, Zelda game, but set to a beat. It's very strange, very weird. The enemies move to the beat with you. Takes a little bit of getting used to. So if you're just a typical Zelda fan and you jump into this, obviously, you know, it has the music, it has the look, it has all the abilities, all the enemies you want to see, but it plays very, very different than any Zelda game you've ever seen. I mean, it's much more of a Crypt of a Necrodancer game than it is a Zelda game. But the cool thing, and this game came out over a year ago, I remember playing it on vacation last year on my Switch, there's three pieces of downloadable content coming to the game. So one is going to be like this melody pack that's going to add, I guess, what, 39 songs they're saying. There's going to be five new Zelda characters they're bringing in. Skull Kid from Majora's Mask is going to be in it. Just looks very, very neat that they're bringing this to that series. I actually never finished the game, and it kind of actually made me remember the game. I actually had forgotten that the game had even come out. I think I purposely bought it for like those mornings I would get up to, you know, have coffee when the family's still sleeping on vacation, and did, you know, kind of played it on vacation, and then that was it. Like, I never went back to it. So it's kind of made me want to go back and play this game, and, you know, just seeing some of those other just characters, and I'm sure all the music from like Majora's Mask and all that is going to be in these DLC packs. Kind of gets me excited and actually makes me want to check that out. I think that's pretty cool. And I don't think anybody expected any DLC to be coming to it. So the fact that they're even doubling down on that really shows you two things. One, their commitment to that game, but then also it probably sold pretty well. You know, I mean, it is a Zelda game. So whenever you slap Zelda on anything, the Nintendo fans are going to go crazy over it and buy it up. But it's cool. I think that they're bringing that to it. I'm glad they're doing that. Let's see. We also got today, this is over on IGN. They're doing the whole IGN first this month for Marvel's Avengers, which, of course, is the new Avengers game coming out from Square. And it's coming out, I believe, the beginning of September. But we are going to get some beta action very soon. I think it's actually April 7th on the PlayStation. And then the 14th is kind of hitting every other platform. And then at some point, this thing is going to go open beta so people can get hands-on with it. Think of it kind of like an Avengers third-person action game, but also with like loot-driven gameplay and some little bit of RPG action in there. Almost like a Destiny kind of being thrown into the Marvel space, which has me super excited. I mean, the minute I saw your loot gathering in that's fantastic. But they did this, what they're calling their war table, and it's kind of these streams where they show you either a new mission in the game or kind of talk about different aspects of the game. They've only done one of these so far, and I think there's going to be a second one before the beta. But IGN has been doing their first IGN first coverage of the game this month, and today they showed all these just new outfits that you can collect for the characters, because part of the game is going to be obviously getting loot, but then also getting these full-on just outfits for the characters that you can get in the game. And the cool thing on that first war table that they did was it showed their commitment to like honoring the history of the Avengers and of Marvel. And, you know, like they were saying like, oh, we have this suit in the game because this is a throwback to issue number, blah, 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 you know, in this year. And so when you go through all these suits, it's just so awesome to see all this. And this is just obviously the tip of the iceberg. I'm sure there's going to be so many things that are going to be in there. And of course, some of the suits are suits that they created for the game itself. But just seeing the different things that are in there, I'm like, that was one of the things when I think back to Spider-Man on the PlayStation 4 that really kind of roped me into continuously playing. And a lot of people just played the story and then kind of moved on and didn't really tackle the open world monotony that's in there that a lot of open world games have. And in Spider-Man, it was going around getting these backpacks and just kind of taking out these little enemy camps. But by doing that, it kept leading you to, especially the backpacks, like all these different things that Peter would find, and he would say, oh, I remember that. That was from my fight with blah, blah, blah. Or that was, you know, that's my sweaty gym shirt. I remember throwing that in there. That was after that time I, you know, tackled blah, blah, blah. And it's just, it was really cool kind of giving you all this insight. And I really have a feeling that's what this game is going to do really for me. And I think for a lot of Marvel heads out there is we're just going to be chasing down the history of the Marvel comics, especially the Avengers, through this game. And then the fact that they're committing, you know, not only a year of content, but years of content to this game, where it's going to be kind of this ever-evolving game. Just the sky's the limit. They could bring so many different, not only characters, but villains and, you know, stories and set pieces and all that. And then on later on top of that, all these collectibles that you could get. I mean, it's one thing to fill your collection in, let's say, a game like Destiny, which is obviously has a great following now. It's been around for a while, so it is somewhat established. I say somewhat established. It is established. Who am I kidding? But it's nowhere near as established, and there is none of that nostalgia that people have like they do to something like the Avengers. You know, the Avengers have tens of years, decades of content out there that they can pull from and just have people chase down and have people just have fun exploring for that stuff. So I think that's going to be really, really fun with this game. And you know, just looking, like I said, of these costumes that they put out today, it was really neat to kind of go through all these and just kind of see what's there. I can't wait to get my hands on. And I'm kind of debating right now because I'm like, do I want to get it on PlayStation? Because I know ultimately I'll probably be getting the PS5 first. Plus, I would like to be playing the beta for this game because it's getting an early beta on PlayStation first, and then it's going to go to the other platforms. Or do I want to wait and see how it runs on my PC? I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I have no idea yet. But chances are I'm going to at least pre-order a physical copy, maybe from GameStop, and then you can always cancel your... Have you guys ever done that? You can like cancel your pre-orders at GameStop. I'm not going to, you know, condone that, but I may have done that before where you kind of just get a little pre-order at GameStop just to get that little beta code to kind of get in early and then go back and say, nah, that game's not for me. That's something I'd recommend you doing if you're not sure the console you're going to play on and you just want to be able to get into that. I'm not condoning that. So no. I'm not condoning that. Don't do that. Whatever platform you pre-order on, make sure that's the one you want to go on. Wink, wink. And get yourself playing Avengers on August 7th when it launches on the PlayStation. Let's see. We also had news today that Christopher Nolan's Tenet once again is being delayed. And this time, it's not just for a short time. It's, you know, we went from, July 17th to July 31st to August 12th to now just straight up indefinite. We don't know. We don't know when it's coming. So it kind of did the Last of Us 2 treatment where they weren't sure what was going to happen with The Last of Us 2. That's what they're doing now with Tenet. Obviously, you know, does it make sense? Yes. I mean, if anybody putting a release date on their movie right now is just out of their minds. If anything, I think companies should just be releasing these as streamable things to see. But in a movie like Tenet and the draw that Christopher Nolan's films have, I can see them saying, hey, if we just put it out to stream and just kind of put it up there for people to rent or buy, whatever it is, they would definitely lose a lot on the return. They have shareholders. There's all that. These companies know the amount of money they can make by putting it in the theater. So I get it. But, you know, I don't know. It's just going to be weird. I mean, right now we have, a new teaser for the New Mutants came out. And this Thursday, actually the same day of the Xbox event on July 23rd, there is going to be a Comic-Con at home panel with a bunch of the actors in The New Mutants. But like they filmed that movie 4 years ago. So it's gotta be weird for these people to go on these press events for something they filmed years ago. Like how are they even remembering that? I mean, how many things have they filmed since then? And so I think Tenet could even potentially have that where if we're just going on and this thing's not coming out till 2021, I mean, we're already hearing movies like, Fast and the Furious and all these films. I mean, John Cena, well, how is he going to be able to go and do a press tour? I mean, I know they're going to do it and they're going to remember it, but it's just weird, right, that these films are so much longer. I mean, already the press tours are long enough with a lot of these things. So the fact that they're going to be doing it now here with Tenet, I guess that's just the time we're in, right? I guess that's just kind of the age of movies this way. I mean, obviously we saw Mulan was delayed, Bill and Ted was delayed, The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It has been postponed. Broken Hearts Gallery, which is some romantic comedy with Selena Gomez, has been pushed back, which I know everybody is extremely upset about. Just all these movies, man, being pushed. And like I said, if anybody is putting anything out with a release date, you're crazy. I mean, Regal Cinema, I think, is set to open July 31st. AMC is set to be opening July 30th. I mean, what are you going to be showing? It's, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to be showing. So we'll see. We'll see what, how these movies come out. But, personally myself, I'm not going to the movies unless it's drive-through or drive-in. That'll be the movies I'm going to go to. So we're going to be sitting in our car by ourselves. We're not going to any cinemas or theaters for a while. As much as I want to and would love to, yeah, it's going to be a while, I think, before we start stepping foot into theaters. All right. Well, let's talk about the topic of today. And, of course, that is some of our favorite original Xbox games. And before I get on to some of the ones that you guys sent in, and big thank you to everybody who messaged me. We had a nice big thread going over on Twitter. Thank you guys so much. We even had some of our Discord folks get involved here. But I do want to talk about some of my favorites. And believe it or not, a lot of the ones that you guys mentioned were Very similar to my favorite games. And the first one, obviously, I mean, if this isn't on your list, then I don't know. I don't even know if you've ever even played an Xbox. And of course, it's Halo Combat Evolved. I mean, it is the game that really made the Xbox what the Xbox became. I mean, it was Bungie's flagship game. Even though they had made games prior to that, they completely revolutionized the first-person shooter on the console. And, I mean, I think the biggest selling point when I think about Halo was the fact that you could get this just awesome narrative-driven story where, you know, the music was there. Everything about it was just so good. And you know, you had these levels where you went into it, and there was just this giant sandbox. I mean, that was the thing that, for me, completely surprised me. Is, you know, especially when you get on that second level just called Halo. And you go out there and you see that ring going up, and then you kind of realize, like, I can go anywhere. I think that first objective is just, like, save the Marines. And there's multiple groups of Marines. You can go in any order you want. Just go. And, you know, the way the enemies reacted to you was just so much fun to play. And then on top of that, the longevity of that game, and really what I think sold the console, was the multiplayer aspect. Granted, we didn't have true Xbox Live at that time, but we had LAN parties and people getting together, bringing their Xboxes together. I mean, this was something that, you know, people used to do back in the day of with games like Doom on the PC. You would get together and have these LAN parties, or you would hear stories of offices kind of setting up their office with, you know, LAN things in at lunch. They would play, you know, whatever it was, Quake or whatever. People started doing that with their consoles, and that was kind of unheard of at the time. And I remember, like, you know, crowding around a TV with four guys on one TV and four on another and just playing Halo. It was so much fun to play. And then on top of that, I remember my first apartment my wife and I had, we drilled a hole in the wall going into my office, and I bought like 100-foot Ethernet cable, and we ran it all the way out of my office, all the way through to the Xbox. And GameSpy was a service where you could go in there and trick your Xbox to thinking you were at a LAN party, but you were actually playing through the internet. So we would have these like hour-long capture the flag or assault matches on Blood Gulch, and it was just janky as hell, you know, glitchy as crap, because the connection wasn't quite perfect back then. I mean, you know, this is when we had like cable modems, and you were probably getting like five up, you know, however many kilobytes down, or what, you know, whatever it was that you were getting, or I'm sorry, kilobytes up, megabytes down, but just super small. But so much fun just being able to get on there, and, you know, we trash talk through chatting with people online. It was just awesome, an awesome, awesome experience. So for me, Halo Combat Evolved obviously is the number one game. Another game that always comes to mind for me when I think of the Xbox is the original Star Wars The Old Republic. Or it just was a game that, you know, as a Star Wars fan, completely blew me away. When you get to, you know, the twist, which I don't want to spoil here if you've never played the game. Or I'm sorry, Knights of the Old Republic. I'm sitting here as I'm saying The Old Republic. It's Knights of the Old Republic. When you get to that point and you get that twist in that game, I mean, it was just like that moment you found out that Darth Vader was Luke's father. Like, it is just such an incredible experience. I remember people just talking at the time that the game did more for the Star Wars series than even the prequels were doing at the time that it was kind of launching around. BioWare just crushed it with that game. So much fun. And you can play it now on your phone and play it all over. But like, I will always equate that game with the Xbox because I remember my experience playing through it. And when you come to that moment in that game, it was just epic. And the fact that you could play as, you know, light side, dark side, and it kind of tracked all that. I never really played an RPG like that. And I loved it. Another RPG in the Xbox that was huge, and to say, you know, I never played a game like Knights of the Old Republic, I never played a game like The Elder Scrolls Morrowind. That game was incredible. I mean, you just go in, and you can do whatever you want. I remember the first time I played it, and I played it for like 30 minutes, and I'm sitting there like, what do I do? Like, I don't even know what to do in this game. And then, you know, I was kind of going on some message boards, and you're kind of reading through like game facts and kind of seeing things, and it's like, oh, wait a minute, I can just do whatever I want. I just kind of live in Morrowind. Like, there is a quest, main quest, but then there's all these other side quests, and I can just kind of go anywhere I want and do anything that I want. And that was just mind-blowing to have an RPG like that. I mean, the closest thing for me at that point was probably like, I guess Final Fantasy 3 on the Super Nintendo, which is kind of a, you know, Final Fantasy 6, obviously now, of course, because 3 was our US release, or even like Link to the Past, where you could kind of go where you wanted, but it just wasn't the same. And Morrowind just completely threw all that out the window for me. Another game that surprisingly I actually equate more, I don't want to say more to the Xbox, but when I think about the Xbox, I think I spent more time with the Xbox version of this game. And that is Phantasy Star Online. So you always hear how I'm such a big fan. Everybody knows that game first came out on the Dreamcast. I had it on the Dreamcast, but I didn't really get into it. I didn't pay the sub. I just kind of bought it, kind of played it a little bit. I was like, eh, whatever. Xbox is where I doubled down with Xbox Live. I actually started paying the subscription and got into that game on the Xbox. And I remember like there were ways where people would go in and you would glitch your mags and you would just trade these real powerful mags. People were like hacking them. And so you would go in and you'd be like a level 3 character, but your mag was like a level, I think it was 150 or 200. You can get up to those, or it might even been just 100 in the original Phantasy Star Online. But it just amazingly, or just gave you all this power and you were just wrecking anything in front of you. And it was just so much fun to do that. People, I don't know how they were doing it. I think they were going on their PC and somehow hacking it in to a boot drive and booting it onto the Xbox. It was just so cool, like being able to do that. Because, you know, other platforms, you couldn't do things like that. Like on the GameCube, you know, there really wasn't anything like that. So I remember playing the heck out of that. And then another game that I remember really playing a lot too was Ghost Recon 2. And part of that was because that game, like we talk about LAN parties, we would have Ghost Recon 2 LAN parties at my house as well. We would bring two Xboxes and do, there was like this terrorist hunt mode where they would basically put you in a huge map and there would be like 50 enemies around the map and you just had to take them out. And it would be literally, there'd be like 6 or 7 of us all playing on multiple Xboxes because you could, you know, split the screens up and play with split screen. And we would have so much fun playing that. And then also, that was the game, you guys may have heard me share this story before. We used to troll big time in that game. Because you'd go in and be like, same thing, we do the terrorist hunt, but we play it online. Because at this point, Xbox Live had come out. And we would go in and you would be all set and ready to go. And you'd be with like 4 or 5 other people and they're all getting their gear all ready. So my buddy and I would get on real quick, equip our rocket launchers and quickly, boom, 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 equip it and like move away from everybody and then shoot a rocket and kill everybody and be like, oh man, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that, man. I'm sorry. So sorry. And the people would always be like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. Let's just respawn again. Respawn again. Do the exact same thing. Terrible. Again, another thing on the show, I don't condemn trolling people, but this was me back in college having a lot of fun in our at our apartments. And we would just be laughing for hours doing that. It was so funny. I mean, the original Xbox, it was Xbox Live that like brought that console. Once that came out, the Xbox just exploded, you know, with games out there. And then, of course, I mean, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up Halo 2. Obviously, you know, as much as I love the original Halo, Halo 2 is truly, truly probably my favorite game on that platform, because just the amount of hours and games and kind of where I was in my life at that time to be able to play that game online with friends. And even when I moved down here to Charlotte, so many miles away from my buddies, we were still able to connect through Xbox Live and play Halo 2. It was just such an incredible game. And it's funny, I mean, I think I mentioned it this week, I've been playing the hell out of the Master Chief Collection on PC with Halo 3 dropping. And it's just been awesome going back. I mean, I'm kind of just going into a playlist with the original Halo 2, Halo 2 Anniversary, and Halo 3 just kind of in a playlist and revisiting those old maps, just bringing back so many amazing memories. So yeah, those are probably my favorite games, I think, over there. So kind of going through here, I had a lot of people mention Fable, which Fable obviously was an incredible game for an RPG. I mean, it was kind of promised to be this, you know, massive game that kind of never ending and you could do whatever you wanted. And it didn't necessarily live up to all that hype that Peter Molyneux put out there, but it definitely delivered a great RPG, and then obviously they iterated on it with 2 and 3. But for what it was, you know, Fable 1 was an awesome game. Let's see, Knights of the Old Republic keeps coming up. One that kept coming up was Fusion Frenzy, was kind of which is still, it's on Xbox Game Pass right now. @HoffAmazin says over on Twitter, he says that, you know, Fusion Frenzy's on Xbox Game Pass, so he loves that. And I know a lot of people love that. It was a good like party game. It was basically the Xbox version of Mario Party, which was kind of cool. This one I completely forgot about. Dreadnought_78. He mentioned Splinter Cell, which of course, Splinter Cell, I mean, that series just was amazing on the Xbox. But he also brings up Crimson Skies. I completely forgot about that game. That was that like airplane game. It was a airplane battle game that was really, really cool. I love that. Let's see. We had some folks mention Need for Speed Underground 2. That was Coden Bond. He mentioned that over on Twitter. Let's see what else. We had the Midway Arcade Treasure. Somebody mentions the San Francisco Rush, the Rock Edition. That was Elite Mad Skills on Twitter. Let's see. Sev051 on Twitter mentioned Star Wars Republic Commandos. That's a good one, actually. I never really jumped into that much. Let's see. My good friend Gary over there, Slade Steel Soul on Twitter, he mentions the Prince of Persia trilogy. I know those games. They were pumping those games out for a while. And hell, they even put the movie out that has Jake Gyllenhaal in it. I know a lot of people, maybe hit or miss on the movie, but a lot of people love that series. I remember every time they were coming out, they were huge. And then over in our Discord, Classic Squid, he brought up Star Wars Battlefront 2 as his favorite. And it's funny, like the new Battlefronts, as much fun as they are and as great as they look, those original Battlefront games, especially Battlefront 2, was just epic, man. The massive battles. I mean, obviously you're getting those in the new ones, but they were just super cool, kind of ahead of their time when you think back to it, just to how big those battlefields were. I mean, it was literally Battlefield, but with Star Wars and Wookiees all over and Jedi. I mean, it was just super, super fun to play. So that was a good game too. So, all right. Well, there you go. A bunch of original Xbox games. And, you know, I'm going to tell this story too. I didn't actually get the Xbox at launch. I was one of those people that doubled down and stood out at midnight to get my GameCube first because I used to fight with my friends about how much better Metroid Prime was going to be compared to Halo because I was like, what the hell is Halo? I'm getting the new Metroid game, man. It looks incredible. It's first person. It's going to be great. Not that I was wrong, but Metroid didn't come till months later. And of course, my buddies got their Xbox and they're rocking on Halo. So then I'm going over there. We're playing Halo and... So, of course, I then had to buy my own Xbox so I could play through Halo myself, and then we could do our LAN parties and all that. But, yeah, I wasn't an early adopter of the Xbox. It took me a little bit because I was one of those Nintendo guys. I was battling, saying, no, I'm going to play my Wave Race, my Rogue Squadron, and then I'll play Prime when it comes out. And I don't know what this Halo garbage is that's coming out. And then I quickly learned that it's not garbage. It's only one of the best, you know, games and kind of groundbreaking first-person shooters ever, even for what it did even just on the console. It's just awesome. So that's going to be it for today, guys. Let's wrap it up there. Like I said, tomorrow, let me know, or actually today as you're listening to this, we'll talk about it tomorrow. Let me know what your favorite Xbox 360 games were. Either email me, theenthusewife@gmail.com, or go check out my Twitter, @MarkTurk, M-A-R-K-T-U-R-C. You can see the thread over there, the tweet. So just be sure to comment under that and let me know. And tomorrow we'll be talking about some Xbox 360 games. So with that, everybody, thank you again, as always, for tuning in today and making me a part of your day. I really appreciate it. And remember, you can subscribe, like, whatever, on any podcast platform that you want to listen to. And please leave me likes, leave me reviews on those platforms if they are enabled, because that always helps move us up the ranks. And until tomorrow, we'll catch you next time.